Psalm 19, focusing on God's law. As you well know, this world around us has an attitude towards God's law that just does not appreciate that law at all, does not even consider it relevant anymore. But it's an attitude where it's perplexing because those of us who have had our minds opened by God don't understand how you can even justify an attitude that is so ready to discard God's law. Is that attitude supported in the Bible? Well, as you well know, it is not. In fact, you don't need to turn there, but let's just start here with Romans 3:31. Paul clearly shows that God's law is still relevant in our lives. Romans 3:31, he states, "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not." Now, the King James Version here, instead of saying "certainly not," emphatically states, "God forbid." God forbid. On the contrary, we establish the law. See, God's law is not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of restrictions and rewards and punishments. God's law is a way of life. In fact, as we come to know more about it, the law of our Creator is the only successful way of life. And the Bible consistently affirms this fact throughout. Turn with me, if you would, here to Psalm 19 and verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, we read the following. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." What we see here as we start to look in Psalm 19 in these verses is that there are different facets of God's law that apply to our lives, different facets of His law that help us to learn, to grow, to become more like God. And for as much as Psalm 19 here shows us these things, the Bible goes even further in showing how relevant God's law is for us. Turn over to Psalm 119. We're going to be spending some time in here today, so if you have a way of marking your book, your Bible here on Psalm 119, you might want to do that. Because Psalm 119 goes further into the facets of God's law and how that improves our lives. Within Psalm 19, there are, depending on which source you look at, 8 to 10 different words that are used as synonyms for God's law. Those words are frequently translated as law, His word, testimonies, statutes, judgments, commandments, precepts, His ways, and truth and faithfulness. These are all aspects of God's law. What we're going to do today is look just on the surface, because there's so much here. We're going to look at how the structure and the content of Psalm 119 are actually a celebration of God's law, and how it instructs us to live more fully by that law. So first, let's take a look at the structure of Psalm 119. Many Bibles, as you look at Psalm 119, you'll see it's divided into sections. Each section has a heading of one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. See, Psalm 119 is written as an alphabetic acrostic. What it has done is it was written in a way such that each section corresponds to one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, so we have 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. Each stanza corresponds to one letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, what's interesting about this is that each stanza contains 8 verses. So we have a total of 176 verses. But within one stanza, every verse in that stanza begins with the Hebrew letter that corresponds to the alphabet, to the acrostic alphabet for which that stanza was written. If you ever have the opportunity to look at a Hebrew Bible. Now, I don't read Hebrew. I can at least recognize the characters as, oh, that character is the same as this one. But if you have the opportunity and look at a Hebrew Bible, and you look at how Psalm 119 is laid out, you'll see that the first 8 verses, each of those verses, begins with the Hebrew letter Aleph. The next 8 verses in the second stanza, each verse begins with the letter Bet. So it's kind of neat to see that. But what is interesting about this as the structure of Psalm 119 is that what it shows us with these different synonyms for God's law, there are actually only 2 verses out of 176 that don't include a direct reference to one of those facets. So what we see is that God's law, just by the very structure of this psalm, is interwoven in with every alphabet, with every letter. God's law is interwoven with every letter. Now, if you stop to think about that, when we have a thought, we don't typically think in terms of pictures. If we have an image in our mind, we associate words with that image. So our thoughts are associated with words. The words we speak are associated with letters. So what God is telling us here, by interweaving His law with every letter, then we live our lives interweaving God's law with every word that we speak and every thought that we have. That is our goal. That is what we're trying to do, to live more fully by God's law. So we see that even just the structure can give us a lesson in how we can live more fully by God's law. But in addition to the structure, there is a lot in the content of this Psalms that teaches us how we can live more fully by God's law. And one of those ways is that Psalm 119 speaks about our eyes. How do our eyes relate to living by God's law? Well, if you consider, our eyes represent our perceptions of the world around us. Our eyes represent what we focus on, what we're looking to, the goal that we're reaching for. We're looking at it, we're trying to go in that direction. So Psalm 119, one of the lessons it has in here is, how do our eyes relate to living by God's law? Well, first off, Psalm 119 and verse 18. Let's take a look at that. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. What we see here is that we need to come to God and ask Him to open our eyes to give us a different perception of what God's law is. I mean, look at the world around us. What is their perception of God's law? Well, it's no longer relevant. It was just given to the ancient Israelites. We don't have to keep the law because we have faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't apply to our lives. Where does that perception come from? That perception comes from Satan. That's his attitude permeating the society around us. as we are being called by God, as we are learning His ways, we have to have our eyes opened, and we have to have a different perception of God's law than what the world around us has. Satan has closed our eyes, and people have the wrong attitude about God's ways. You don't need to turn there, but you're very familiar with what Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verses 7 and 8. Romans 8, 7 to 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That is not the perception that we want. That is not the perception that we will have as God begins to open our eyes to observing His law, to seeing what's in there, to seeing how it applies to our lives. But opening our eyes to gain this perception is not something that we can do on our own, is it? And frankly, given the pervasive attitude in the world around us, it's not something that we would choose to do on our own. So we have to go to God. Say, please, open my eyes. Help me see. Help me understand your law. Help me understand how it applies in my life. So only God can open our eyes to that. And as part of what He has done for us to help us open our eyes, to help us to see His law, is He's given us His written word. I mean, think about the huge blessing that is, that we have the Word of God so readily available for us to look into, to study, to see how that applies. But He's also sent His servants to help us understand, to open their minds, to help them explain to us. Remember what Paul said back here in Acts 26, verses 15 through 18. He was recounting to the governor how he came to be where he was. In Acts 26, verses 15 to 18, he was telling about his encounter on the road to Damascus. Breaking into the context here, he said, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you.'" And here we have why he's sending Paul. Verse 18, "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Paul later wrote in Ephesians 1, 17 through 18, Ephesians 1, 17 to 18, Paul writes, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." Most people in this world do not understand this. Their eyes have not been opened. But look at these wondrous things which God is revealing. The hope of His calling, the riches of His glory, the opportunity to receive an inheritance from God as members of His family. Are those not wondrous things that we have seen now that God has opened our eyes to His Word? Have not our perceptions changed about God's law and understanding that this is how we're supposed to live? And this is what God has in store for us when we live, when we strive to live by His ways. But our perceptions had to be changed. Our eyes had to be opened. And that's what Psalm 119, verse 18 is talking about. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. It has to start with that. Because if our eyes aren't open to it, we'll never see it. But it doesn't stop there. The next step, once our eyes have been opened to understanding God's ways, to understanding His laws, we need to change our focus. And here we see that instruction in Psalm 119 and verse 37. Psalm 119, verse 37 writes here, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." What is our focus? What is it that is of primary importance in our lives? If we were left to ourselves, what would we be focusing on? What would we be striving for? Every one of us, whether we've been called into God's church or whether we've grown up in God's church, left on our own, would focus on ourselves, wouldn't we? Me first. What's in it for me? What am I going to do to help myself out here? We'd focus on ourselves, what I could get, and on temporary things, things that have no lasting value, things of this world that will come to an end. That is what our focus would be. And where does that focus come from? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, John writes here, "Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world." And we still have to fight that, don't we? Even though God's opened our eyes to understand that His law is the way of life, don't we still have to fight those attitudes of the world around us? The distractions, the things that we see, things that we hear, things that are constantly put before us to take that focus off of God's law and to put it somewhere else. We have an example of that when the Israelites came into Canaan. God told them, do not take any of the dedicated things from Jericho. They were to destroy everything. But what did Achan do? Did he keep that focus? Did he heed God's instructions? Stay focused on those instructions and follow what God told him to do? No, his focus wavered. And as he told Joshua in Joshua 7, verses 20 and 21, Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils of beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them." He lost his focus, didn't he? All of a sudden he's thinking about himself. Wow, I can be a rich man if I just, no one's going to know. I'll just take this. But where did that lead? What happened to him when he lost his focus on God's instructions? It led to death. And that's the only outcome that is possible if we stray from focusing on God's way of life. Because God's way is the only way of life. So how do we keep that focus? How do we be strengthened and guided to make sure that our focus is on God's law, on His testimonies, His judgments, His statutes? Job gives us an indication here. In Job 32, in verses 8 to 9. How we gain the right focus here. Job 32, verses 8 and 9. "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor the aged always understand justice. Wherever we are in our lives, no matter how old we are, how experienced we are, the experiences that we've had, or the wisdom that we think we have, none of that leads us to focus on God's law, on God's way. What we need is the breath of the Almighty, the Spirit of God, to give us that understanding, to help us to stay focused. And so we see here in Psalm 119:37, the only possible outcome to gain that focus, we see the psalmist pleading, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." Please help me not focus on something over here to the right or something over here to the left, but to stay centered on you, God. Because now that you've changed my perception of your law, now that you've opened up my mind to the rightness of your law, please, please help me stay focused on that. Because Satan has a whole war chest full of devices that he uses to distract us from God's law, from God's way. All kinds of things in this world around us, all kinds of things from even within our own midst, Satan will use whatever he can to get our minds off of his law. And what happens when we do that? How does it change our mind when we are focused on something else? As we continually look at something, as we continually examine it, don't we become more accustomed to it? Don't we start to find it more acceptable? That's just the way our minds work. You look at the stuff we see on TV and in society around us, which is absolutely appalling. But because it's so prevalent in our society, it starts to become acceptable. We're numbed to it. Well, that's the problem when we lose our focus on God's way of life and we start looking and focusing on something else. We start becoming accustomed to things that are not of God. We start becoming accustomed to it and it becomes more acceptable to us. Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, verse 9. Christ said, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." Now, obviously, Jesus isn't a proponent here of saying, go out and dismember yourself. He's not telling you to literally pluck out your eye. But again, going back to the symbolism of the eye, of representing our perceptions and our focus, what he's saying here is if there's something in your life that is causing you to lose your perception of God's law, something that's causing you to lose that focus on his law, you need to remove that from your life. And sometimes that comes at a great loss. It's not something we want to give up freely. But consider the alternative. Consider the consequences of that. If we choose not to give up that which is taking away our focus from God, is it worth the cost later on of losing the opportunity for eternal life with God as members of his family? There is nothing on this world that is worth that cost. So if we have something that is persistently causing us to lose focus on God, we need to remove that. We need to take that out of our lives, because it'll come at a huge cost if we don't. One of the advantages of having the right focus on God's law is that brings us to the next step. Psalm 119 and verse 15. Psalm 119, verse 15, we read, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Now, as it's translated here in the New King James Version, you might ask the question, wait. I thought we're talking about eyes here. Where do you get this from with this translation? But when you look at the word contemplate, the Hebrew word that this comes from means literally to look into, to respect, and to regard. So holding God's law in high regard just leads us to wanting to look into it more deeply, to learn how to live by His ways more fully. But in order to do that, again, that is something that we cannot do on our own, is it? We still need God's Spirit working with us. Because as we start looking more deeply into His laws, and I'm sure you've had the situation too. I've had it. We look more deeply into God's laws, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I never considered that aspect of His law before in my life. And so what we see here is looking more deeply into His law goes a step further in also continually changing our perceptions of His law and how it applies in our lives. So we look into His law. We can see a reinforcement of that here. We're still in Psalm 119, but take a look over at verse 117. Looking into God's law, working with God's Spirit to help us to understand that law more deeply. We see here in Psalm 119 and verse 117, hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. As we look into God's ways more deeply, as we understand them better, we see how they apply to our lives in so many different ways. We know there's safety there. There may be a lot of turmoil in the world around us that's constantly affecting us, but there's safety in keeping God's laws and being in His hands. Because there is nothing in this world that can take us from God. We might walk away on our own, but nothing will take us away from God. And so we look into His law. We observe His statutes continually, keeping them in our lives. We contemplate His ways. We respect His ways. We regard them. And we look into them. That's another way in which Psalm 119 shows us how our eyes can help us to live more fully by God's laws. And there is one other way which Psalm 119 shows how our eyes help us to live more fully by God's ways. And that's back in Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 119, verse 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes! Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Verse 5 here, to keep your statutes, could also be translated to keep, to guard, to observe, to give heed to God's statutes. Let's pay attention to them. They do apply to our lives. They have instruction there that applies to each and every one of us if we meditate on it and think, oh, wait a minute. Here's the situation I'm in right now, and I see this in God's Word. You know, if I apply this, that applies to what I'm going through in my life right now. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Verse 6, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. If you want to literally translate verse 6. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look to all of your commands. When I look to all your commands. You see, looking at God's commands shows us that there really is only one way. There's only one direction that we can take if we truly want life. And not just life here and now in the physical sense, but life as it was really meant to be, for eternity with God in His family. That is what life really is, to become members of the family of God. Turn with me back to Psalm 25 and verses 2 through 5. Psalm 25, verses 2 through 5. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. We have to trust in God to direct our paths, to direct our ways. Now, some of you might be familiar. It's been a number of times in, done a number of times in the various youth camps. But one of the activities that's been done is a team building exercise. And what it is, it's an obstacle course. So the camper has to start at the beginning of the course and make his way through to the end. Well, you know, that can be challenging enough, except there's one catch. The camper's blindfolded. Now it doesn't become so easy, does it? Now the camper can't really rely on himself, can he? So how is it possible for him to ever successfully navigate his way through this obstacle course? What happens is another camper who is not blindfolded is right there with the blindfolded camper, giving him directions. Step this way, walk over here, move to your right, go around. And because that person is there giving directions, guiding that camper through that obstacle course, the camper, while still blindfolded, is able to make it through all those obstacles and reach the goal at the end. But in order for that to work, the camper who's blindfolded has to trust the person giving the directions, has to listen to those directions, and not waver one way or the other. Likewise, the one giving the instructions has to look out for the welfare of the one who's blindfolded to make sure that the instructions being given are the instructions that are needed at the time they're needed, with the goal in mind of reaching the end of that obstacle course. That's how it works. Do we find ourselves in the same situation, living our lives in the world today? Have we not been blinded by Satan, deceived by Satan? Now, fortunately, God has opened up our minds and He's opened up our eyes. But before that, we had no idea that there was even a goal at the end of this obstacle course we call our lives. And even if we did know there was a goal, we had no perception of the path to take to successfully reach that goal, did we? But God has opened our eyes. The best we could hope for before that was that we could stumble around and maybe perceive part of the path. But we wouldn't understand what it was. We wouldn't understand where we were. It's only when we are standing there, listening, heeding the instructions that God is giving to us, that we are able to make our way through this path to reach that goal of being given eternal life as members of His family. We have to trust in God. We have to heed His words. We have to listen to the directions that He gives us. What we're doing when we do that is we are actually saying, God, I don't like my ways. They don't work. Help me to replace that with your ways. Help me to listen to what you're telling me, to follow your directions, to live fully by what you're teaching me, so that I can make my way through here successfully. And we have to do that. We have to follow every instruction that He gives us. We have to live fully by His law. Because if we don't, if we waver even just one step and go off course, we're not going to reach that goal, are we? We have to follow God's instructions. We have to plead to Him, direct my ways. Show me how I'm supposed to go here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. That's what God is doing for us. That's why we have this instruction before us. He's opened our eyes to His word. He's given it to us, that we can see His instructions, His statutes, His judgments, His testimonies, all of those apply to us as we look into His law. Let's take a look at Proverbs, chapter 4, and verses 27 or 24 through 27. I'll get it right eventually. Proverbs 4, verse 24 through 27. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. We need to be looking straight ahead. We need to be following God's directions. We don't need to be looking down here or off to the right, because if we do that, we might miss something. God might be telling us at some point, you need to go this direction. But if we're looking down, or if we're looking off to the side, we might miss that instruction. We don't want to step off that path. We want to consider that path. Because if we step off the path that God is giving to us, what are we doing? We're effectively saying, God, no. You know what? Yeah, I know you told me to go this way, but wouldn't it be better to go that way? I think that way's better, God. Don't you? No. As we heard in Sermonette, we need to follow God's will in our lives. Sometimes He lets us step off, and sometimes we find out, oh, sorry, that wasn't the right way. We need to stay on the path. We need to veer, not to the right, not to the left, but straight forward. Paul clearly states this principle in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Psalm 119 talks about our eyes and how we can gain a new perception of God's law. And that leads us to walking in the path that God gave us. So in addition to seeing God's law, this ties right into walking in God's law, which Psalm 119 also talks about. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. It goes right along with us asking God to direct our ways, because as we think about our ways, we realize, oh, my way is not such a great way, is it? As we learn and look into God's laws even more and learn to live by them more fully, we realize I need to replace my ways with God's ways. I need to turn my feet, God, to your testimonies because I know that is the right path to take. Psalm 119, verse 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Again, that goes back to what we're just talking about. Sometimes if I want to step off to the side, no. I've already learned my lesson on that. I tried that once. It doesn't work. So I restrain my feet. I restrain my will from wanting to do that. Remind myself, no, I need to follow God's ways. To live God's ways means that we're not walking in the ways of this world, and we're restraining our feet from the evil that is in this world. And finally here, Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now initially, that might seem a little bit redundant. Okay, why do I have to have a lamp on my feet and on the path? But actually, those are two different things. A lamp on my feet helps me see where I am walking right now, where I'm stepping, what to avoid, where to step in order to stay on this path. But in addition to that, I also need a light on the path so that I can understand why I'm walking this way, why I'm stepping here, where is it that I am going? God's commands are a light on that path. They're telling me, step here, and also, here's where you're going. I'm reminded of a story I read, I don't know how many years ago now, but a man was out driving, and it was at nighttime, and it was one of those really, really foggy nights. He could just barely see the road ahead of him. And he's straining to stay on the road, trying to make his way home. And finally, at some point, he looks up ahead and he sees two taillights. He said, oh, I'll just follow those taillights. It'll be a lot easier for me to follow those taillights, and I'll just keep following him and I'll be fine. So they're driving along. He's really relieved about it. Driving along, going along, and all of a sudden, that car stops, and this man runs into it. Hits it behind. He's like, what? Now he's furious. Why did this guy stop? So he gets out and he says to the guy who got out of his car, he says, what are you doing? Why'd you stop all of a sudden? And the guy looks at him and says, well, because I'm in my garage. Where are you going? With God's commandments, shedding light on the path that we're taking. That's what we need to follow. And it's not always easy, is it? To follow God's ways when the world around us is going in the opposite direction, going whatever way that they're going. It is not easy, and sometimes it is a strain to live by God's way. But we need the light of His commandments shining on that path before us so that we can follow that path. Yeah, sometimes it's easier to look ahead and say, oh, well, look, there's someone who seems to be going the same direction I'm going. I'll just follow that person. But that's a problem, isn't it? Paul tells us each one of you must work out your own salvation. That means each one of us has to have our own personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ as our Savior, following the path that they are illuminating with His laws, His testimonies, His statutes. Follow that path, not someone else. Because that someone else may veer off at some point. And we may find ourselves somewhere where we do not want to be nor expected to be. Your word is a lamp on my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 6:23 states, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We need to follow the path that God is illuminating for us, because He is the one who's given us direction, no one else. It's God who's lighting our path, God who's putting a lamp on our feet as we more fully live His way of life and His laws. God opens our eyes to wondrous promises that He has made, that He has in store for us. His ways provide those wonderful promises. His ways, His laws help us to turn aside from the distractions that this world gives. Our responsibility as we open our eyes is to draw close to God, to ask for His help that we may peer more deeply into His law, that we may perceive it even more fully, to increase our desire to live by His way, to gain a better understanding, and to live by it more fully. It's God who directs our paths. It's God who leads our way. If we listen to His instructions, if we follow Him, if we abide by His directions, then we will arrive safely at the destination that He has set before us. Psalm 119, I've barely touched on it today. It is a treasure trove of wisdom from God that celebrates His law and instructs us in so many different ways of how we can fully interweave His law into our lives.